And you're listening to Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. In 2002, Alison Pearson wrote the novel I Don't Know How She Does It. It sold 4 million copies, and Oprah called it the national anthem for working mothers. In 2011, it was adapted into a film, and the book's protagonist, Kate Reddy, a hedge fund broker who could manage 9 currencies and 5 time zones but lamented over buying ready-made pie for her daughter's bake sale, was played by Sarah Jessica Parker. In Ms. Pearson's new novel, How Hard Can It Be?, a sequel to her runaway hit published by St. Martin's Press, Kate Reddy is older, but just as self-deprecating and even more intent on keeping her life intact. Ms. Pearson provides plot twists that remind us that life is not that hard if we can be open to the possibilities. Alison Pearson, welcome to Midday.
Lovely to be here, and very nice to see a male trying to take on this very female book.
Well, I'm gonna give it my best shot. So your first book, I Don't Know How She Does It, was turned into a movie. Mm-hmm. Now, How Hard Can It Be? Is also kind of getting the same treatment, not a movie, but on the small screen, but by big people.
Well, just got the exciting news that the producer of Big Little Lies has optioned it for TV. And I think it's going to be great on TV because it has so many layers, because Kate now has teenagers and she has elderly parents. So it's all those strands of what women in at her time of life are dealing with.
So that's great, because I wanted to ask you, where does this pick up with Kate Reddy? And why did she leave the career she worked so hard to build?
I think she left the career because I'm very bad at endings.
So you just chopped it off. I just thought I can't
decide what's going to happen to her. And I really feel it was probably in retrospect the wrong choice, because so many women readers said to me, she's so relatable. It was my life. And you gave her a get out of jail free card. So I regret that now. So she is coming back into the workplace. Her husband's having a midlife crisis and has decided to retrain for no money as a counselor. So Kate has to earn some money fast. I never really wanted to write a sequel, but a lady all those years ago in New York came up to me at a book signing, and she said, you think having little kids is the hard part? She said, just wait till Kate has teenagers. And then I got teenagers, and I realized the bigger the kids, the bigger the problem.
So how much of Kate is Alison in this book?
Not so much.
In terms of the kids,
I have to be very careful what I say here. She's an amalgam, lots of friends, stories and stuff I've picked up. And that's the great thing I love being an author, is because you start talking to people and they come up with, you know, just these fantastic, oh, this happened to me. And then you're just basically a cannibal, Jonathan. You just gobble up other people's lives and recycle it. But I think that's, if you're very truthful, I'm trying to be truthful here about what it feels like to be a woman, you know, coming up to her 50th birthday. She's trying to go back into work and nobody wants to employ her, because it can be very hard when you're a woman and you've been out of the workplace. So she starts lying about her age. Mm. She knocks 7 years off her age. And the main problem is that she has kind of menopausal memory fog. So she is. It's very hard to be lying about your age when you can't remember what the previous lie was.
Which age you told.
So she can't. When cultural references come up in the office, she can't remember if she was alive for the Beach Boys. It's stuff like. So there's right. There's lots of crazy stuff like that. And someone asks her how old her kids are, and she's standing there thinking, "Oh my God, if I tell the truth, it'll look like I had them when I was 16." So there's lots of fun to be had, but also I guess there's this serious point, mm-hmm. you know, that there is ageism and discrimination against older people, and that's brought up, but hopefully in a very, very funny way.
Well, Alison, explain why. Is Kate convinced that her younger self is so much better? At 34, she struggled to juggle life just mm-hmm. the same. So now that she's approaching 50, she's looking back on those struggling times as better?
I think she looks back with some wistfulness.
Or freer.
I think, well, when you have little kids, it's so all-consuming. You know, it's hard to get that perspective. I think that her daughter has got into some trouble. She is on social media, and I'm not sure how explicit we want to be, but She has been comparing tan lines with girls in her class.
That would be the Belfi.
The Belfi.
I first learned this word reading your book. The Belfi is what?
I'm afraid to tell.
It's not one of the words. You can say it.
No, okay. Okay. So a Belfi is a selfie of your backside. And I'm told that Rihanna does it. Kim Kardashian does it. All my kids tell me all the time that they do it. So Emily, Kate's daughter, has shared this picture, this Belfi, with her friends. And of course, it's gone viral. And everybody in the school and the universe is, you know, beating a path to her door. And I think it's bringing home, really, this, I suppose, this sense I feel as a parent that parenting in the age of social media is just so hard. Because when I was growing up, I mean, at least if you were kind of bored and resentful in your teenage bedroom, at least you were in the bosom of your family and people weren't judging you the whole time. But what I've seen with my kids is that they're never not on display. You know, they're never not having got the peer group is in the bedroom with them. And I think what Kate says is, I wish Emily was a little girl again so I could, you know, wrap her in my arms. And you can be their whole world when they're tiny. But when they're 16, you know, it's a big bad world out there. And social media, of course, has brought, you know, fantastic things for kids, but also has brought all these dangers. In fact, one of my great American friends told me a story which got into the book. And Sharon said to me that she had put parental controls on all the devices in the house. And she said she was feeling really pleased with herself, a great mom. And then she said she had a technical guy around, and he said, I have to tell you, Mrs. Seltzer, he said, that your daughter has downloaded how to bypass parental controls. And she's paid for it with your credit card. So basically, Jonathan, we are, Kate says in the book, I'm a Stone Age person living with Bill Gates. I mean, that, you know, the kids are so far ahead of us with these things.
Right.
And we don't really understand what it is we don't understand. You know, I mean, I'm just about on Facebook and Twitter. But my kids always say, you know, Mum, why do you do everything the long way around? And I think there's a quick way, you know. So there's a lot of comedy about that, but also there is this sort of fear and sadness that we can't protect them from these huge forces in the world.
You're listening to Allison Pearson talk about her latest book, How Hard Can It Be, from St. Martin's Press. So Kate and Emily, her daughter, they've got a volatile mother-daughter relationship, don't they?
That would be fair. My own husband described years ago the relationship between me and my daughter as basically North and South Korea, which...
Who's North? With,
oh, my goodness.
That's, depends on the argument? Yeah,
depends on the argument. Yeah, there's huge love, but also there's that, you know, the daughter trying to assert her independence and... you know, and the mother thinking, maybe don't get that tattoo anywhere where people can see it. So it's that, you know, I guess it's the classic, you know, you're not going out wearing that. But it's it's a very deep central relationship. And then she has her son who, you know, is, as she says, tethered to seven different kinds of electronic device, occasionally looking up to grunt at her. But yeah, I mean, the situation with the kids is very pivotal. And I think a lot of parents will relate to that.
Why does Kate apologize to Emily for not letting her get a fake ID?
Because I guess there are all these pressures now. So I remember my daughter for years saying to me, you know, I need a fake ID to get into these, you know, parties or clubs or whatever. And, you know, and me saying, no, that's not suitable. And then you get the whole, you know, everyone does it, you know, all normal people apart from you. You are the only vicious tyrant.
So that was when you were North Korea.
Yes, that was when I was North Korea. Exactly.
So in the book, Emily is, let's leave aside the fake ID, but she's involved in some dark stuff. Mm-hmm. that Kate finds out.
Yes.
How does she find out?
Well, Kate doesn't notice for a while. And I think, again, it's quite hard as she's picking up all these clues that Emily's struggling with some things, particularly after the notorious Belfi goes public and she is being, you know, teased and bullied at school. And eventually Kate finds out that Emily is self-harming. And that's something I looked into and was just really appalled to realize that it was a kind of epidemic thing.
And to be specific, the self-harm is cutting.
Yeah, a kind of cutting. Yeah, exactly. And that so many mums I spoke to said that they had not realized their daughter was in any difficulty at all. So, and then they were, you know, kind of amazed to find out. So I felt it was a really good topic to air and to make people feel that this stuff's going on and it's something we can share and discuss.
So let's switch gears and move away from the North Korea, South Korea, and talk about Kate's relationship with her husband, Richard.
Yes.
Yes. Explain that. Yes.
Well, they've, you know, like all couples at that stage, have been through some ups and downs. And he's having his own midlife crisis while Kate's, you know, and Kate's having to go back to work. So they've stopped communicating. And she starts kind of gradually realizing that things are not that great. I don't want to give away too much.
I'm not going to give it away.
But the romantic hero of the first book, who's an American called Jack Abelhammer, who was played in the movie by the wonderful Pierce Brosnan, he resurfaces. So there's some kind of romantic tension there as well.
Oh, let's just call it what that's the definition of a tease, Allison.
Well, actually, what? I met Pierce Brosnan on the set of the movie of I Don't Know How She Does It, and he came up to me and he said, Allison Pearson, and I thought, you can stand there for 93 years and continue saying my name. So I very much hope that he might be cast in the TV version.
Well, you know, so not only do they stop having, Kate and Richard, her husband, stop having any kind of relationship in their marriage, they stop kissing. Mm-hmm. You write Richard is described as a super fit man who has cycled several thousand miles and eschews all refined carbohydrates, yet looks like an emu having a bad experience of chemotherapy. Now, I thought I knew what an emu was. I had it completely, and I looked it up and I thought, wow, that's a really scrawny man.
Well, he's developed become, I don't know if you have it over here, a mammal, which is a man in lycra, a middle-aged man in lycra. He's become a very kind
of...
Never heard that. Mammal.
I've never heard that.
And he goes cycling a lot. And I think Kate gets quite upset because she's trying to lose her spare tire, which she's acquiring. Meanwhile, her husband is getting kind of fitter and thinner. So she's somewhat annoyed about it.
Oh, so it's not that he's like scrawny and ugly. He is fit and very attractive compared... And she looks at herself and is like, yes. What's going on?
Yes. Exactly. And she is trying to get into shape for going back to work and has the full range of gym plus a lunchtime lipo session, which hopefully will make people laugh. So, yeah. So underlying all the comedy is this kind of quite, I guess, you know, this quite poignant stuff about women at a certain age feeling, how can I remain relevant? You may at a certain period in your life be feeling, you know, your hormones are dipping and a lot of women feel they're not themselves. And Kate looks at herself in the mirror, you know, with quite, you know, blazing honesty, really, and says, you know, I'd quite like my old self back. And she has the menopausal memory fog, which a lot of women will be familiar with. And she says, I used to have a really brilliant computer, state-of-the-art memory retrieval system. And she says that now she has this elderly librarian called Roy, who has to go to the back of the stacks to find the name of something she's forgotten, or where did I put those concert tickets? And Roy sets out to try and find the answer, but sometimes he gets distracted. So the answer pops up like 3 or 4 days later when she's thinking of something else. So there's this running gag, I guess about memory, and it does have very, very funny moments. But I think, again, there's a feeling I certainly had this very bad patch in my life, kind of, you know, the sort of perimenopause years, where you can feel you're losing your powers in different ways. And the book is really trying to address that and also to celebrate the immense contribution that older women make in the culture. And they can feel they become invisible, but I'm here to say they're phenomenal.
And on that point, the last question, because we're already over time, does Kate finally find her way to stable ground by the end of the book?
Oh, how much can I give away? Well,
in 10 seconds.
Okay. I hope it's a very happy ending for all concerned, and I hope that women will come away punching the air. And also, Bill from Brooklyn, who once wrote to me and said, "Dear Miss Pearson, thank you for explaining why my wife yells at me the whole time." So I'm hoping Bill's really going to enjoy the sequel.
I'm Jonathan Capehart. I've been speaking with Allison Pearson about her latest novel, How Hard Can It Be? Tomorrow, June 5th at 6 p.m., Allison will have a reading and book signing at the Barnes & Noble in Tribeca. That's at 97 Warren Street. Bill, if you're listening, you should pop over
and say
hi.
Please come, Bill.
Allison, thank you very much for
being
here.